Blog Talk Radio.
This is Guasabara Taino Radio, Radio Taino Guasabara. What's up, everyone out there listening from all you beautiful parts of the world? And I have a special announcement. Check this out. Guasabara Radio every Monday, Paranormal Hour. And guess who we have with us today? Not only is he a special guest, but he's every Monday is going to be the host of Paranormal Hour with Spooky Lou. Are you there from Nevada? Can we hear you?
Hey, mi gente, ¿cómo está? Yeah, Spooky Lou, what's going on, everyone? How's everyone doing tonight?
Awesome, man. This is your hour, Spooky Lou, but before we get to the hour, I got to get to the weather, but wait a minute, straight out of the skies, coming down from the sky, Stephanie Sky is with us right here. Are you with us, Stephanie?
Hey, I'm with you, Sona Corielu.
Hey, I thought it was creepy. No, today she's going to be creepy Steph, all right? This is going to be creepy Steph. She's going to be sharing in the creepiness and the spookiness. And the sanagoriness that goes on around here. So,
sanagoriness, I like that.
Well, you know what? I'm going to get the weather down, okay? Let's go straight up to the Caribbean, right down there. Let's go to Jamaica. What do you think? 79 degrees. Let's go to Borinquen, 75 degrees. Oh, I love it. How about Dominican Republic, Quisqueya? It's 75 degrees as well. Whoa. Let's go to IT. Anyone want to take a guess, IT? What do you think? Let's take a guess.
80.
Wow, you're close. One more guess. IT, the beautiful section of what we call the Caribbean. What is it? Stephanie, do you have any ideas? You just came from the sky.
77?
79 degrees. Oh, partly cloudy.
To everybody in Haiti.
There you go. All right, we got that going. All right, cool. Also, Nevada, where Spooky Lou's from, 81 degrees. Not bad. Not bad. And here we are in Lenni Lenape territory for myself. 61 degrees. Not bad. It's not that bad. No humidity, thank God. But, you know, in my room, there's a mosquito that's been following me for a couple of days now. And it doesn't want to bite me for some reason. I'm letting it bite me. But it chooses to fly around my ear. That's what it wants to do. It refuses to bite me. Because isn't it true a mosquito bites you? In a couple of hours, they die, right? Is that true?
I heard that, but I don't know if it's true. I don't think it's true.
Because I have no bites, and this thing keeps buzzing around, and I want it to bite me, but it's still alive and well. That's very paranormal, if you ask me. Spooky Lou, what's up? Tell us, what's on the agenda tonight?
I'm still trying to understand why you're letting a mosquito fly around you. Why don't you just smack it and kill it?
It always happens 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, I'm half asleep, you know, and I hear this, you know, it's like, what the hell is this? You know? So
that's
just tell us, man.
Sorry, yeah. I'm
what's
just
going
on? Sorry about
tonight?
That. Nothing. You know what? It's October. We need to be in the spirit of spirits. You know, if that makes any sense, because of Halloween. And I was thinking that maybe we should talk about our most scariest experiences. You know, kind of like allow people to get to know us a little bit. And why do we believe in a paranormal? Maybe talk about a little bit of evil. Does evil really exist? You know, and if it does, of course we know it does exist. But what I mean by that is in the spiritual level, right? Is it real? Is this something that's taught to us from Catholicism? Because you're the expert here, you're the theologian here, right? So I've always been curious about that. What is the Tainos believe, or even Native people, if you have that, if you can answer that, and were they attacked by anything that could be considered a demon, the way like Catholicism believes?
Wow, interesting. You know, my background is theology. You know, I studied for good. Wow, let me see, 4, 5, 6. Good 8 years, you know, studying the Roman Catholicism, you know, and also Franciscan studies, and it's all filled with demon stories and, you know, the whole sense of evil, you know, how evil exists in the world. The church has an official ritual of demonic possession for people who are possessed by demons or the devil, and it's an elaborate ritual that's only performed by certain priests. And you have to be chosen by the bishop of the diocese to perform that ritual. I actually met the psychologist that actually does the tests. There's a psychological test that's done to the person that, you know, the parishioner who comes to the church for help. So the psychologist goes to the home. So he was also a priest, and I happened to know him. When I was in a seminary, and this is the spooky part about it. He says 99% of his cases were psychological, okay? But there was always that 1% that he could not explain to science. And
well, let me
ask
you this.
Him in class.
What?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead,
uh-huh.
I'm sorry. You're probably going to answer my question. That's probably what the question is. Continue.
Right, so we ask him, well, what is that 1% of these cases? And he says, well, it's the unexplained, but there is an evil force that exists, he says, you know, and this evil force will manipulate human bodies, you know, the human host. And there's a whole theology behind that, you know, that's scary in itself. Because I had to study this, you know, it was one of my interests when I was in the seminary. And I actually met a PhD, a doctor of demonology. He was a priest. And if you guys want to hear this is spooky, man.
Before you get into that, please don't forget, because I definitely want to hear this. But I do have a question. Did he ever explain what that 1% actually what was it that they had to experience for them to say, okay, this is something that's otherworldly, you know, besides a mental situation?
He gave us a case study. There was a twin boys. They were like 10, 11 years old. And he went to, there was a lot of weird stuff going on in the sense of them. They were able to move objects. They were very violent, you know, and, you know, it was just like crazy. So he went into the situation, and he said he got hit by a book. They didn't throw physically, but it was like telepathy. Like, boom, the book hit him, and, you know, it was very violent. You know, they had to hold the boys down. And it sounded like classical, like demonic possession, but he said, no, it was psychological. There's some people who have advanced brains, you know, that can actually move objects and, you know, to telekinesis, whatever, you know. He got into it, you know.
Wait a minute. So what you're saying is that you actually learn in the church that they actually believe people can actually possess powers?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. He was breaking it down to us through the realm of psychology, that there's a lot of stuff that you know, can be explained through science. And a lot of this is, you know, telekinesis, you know, what's that other one? ESP and all that, you know. There's a lot of that stuff that exists that a lot of people think is hocus pocus, but it's actually scientifically proven. And him as a psychologist, his job was to figure that out, you know. The church doesn't want to be embarrassed, you know. They want to make sure this is psychological, you know, or demonic. So yeah, he gave all these case studies. Oh, my God. But that one I never forgot, because he said those boys were hitting them with books, little objects moving around, straight out of exorcism, you know, exorcist. But he found out that they had gifts, and they just had a lot of psychological issues that they needed, you know, medications, therapy, whatever. But it was not demonic. But he says there were some cases where the patient, right, had possession, the gift of different languages, you know? They had that they weren't aware of. They would mix the lies with the truth. So they will know something about that, about him, the priest. They will know something about him, and they'll twist it around, you know. They'll work with a lot of guilt, a lot of fear, you know. So this is why a person has to be really secure when they go into this situation, because a lot of their secrets will be revealed, you know. So that person has to be, you know, if you ask me, like a boring person, you know, that has no skeletons in that closet, you know, because it will be revealed. And he saw a lot of that. And he saw that a lot. He saw that a lot. It's not just reading your mind, but also reading your soul, you know. And he gave us those cases. And then those are the cases where he reported back to the bishop and said, all right, you need an exorcist in here. Again, this is a Catholic Christian perspective, okay?
So
through the lens of a psychologist.
I want to ask Creepy a question. So far, Creepy, what do you think about everything that we just explained with the whole church and the whole possession situation?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting that the church acknowledges the fact
mm-hmm.
that possession exists. I can say for one, I've seen some pretty, no pun intended, but creepy things through my days, you know, and a lot of very intimate stories relating to possession and spiritual instances, you know, from family members, reputable sources as family members. So I definitely think that possession itself is, you know, I've seen it. I come from a Catholic background. My grandparents raised me as a Catholic. So knowing how the Catholic religion is with their views, to know that, you know, we do have some priests that go out and actually take it, you know, with more than just a grain of salt when it comes to evaluating the process and actually having a process to distinguish between either mental disability or demonic possession, that's really
mm-hmm.
interesting to hear the theology behind it.
Mm. Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that the church even acknowledges science behind it, you know,
yeah.
and psychology, which is really, really amazing. But Lou, I didn't want you to forget. I wanted to hear that scary story that you were about to share with the demonic possession,
mm-hmm.
I think, you were about to tell us.
Well, I remember as an altar boy, I was very young, but I want to say maybe 13 years old. I remember one of the priests was called, you know, to go investigate a case of a demonic possession. The reason I found out was because I was in the rectory. I was overhearing a phone call, blah blah blah, and I heard the priest talking, and one would kind of made a joke out of it, you know.
and the other one kind of was serious, you know, took it serious. So he went to the house, and then when he came back, he was like white as a ghost, you know. He was a Polish priest, but he was white as a ghost, and he says, "My God, this is serious. We gotta reach out to the bishop, you know." And after that, I don't know whatever happened, but he did explain that there was some, a lot of paranormal stuff was going on. There was a lot of flying objects. There was he felt presence, like a presence, cold. It was cold, you know. He just felt like what we call it, evil. He just felt like that. Just horrible sensation. He got sick. He wanted to throw up. It was just like, and it was related to this, a woman, you know. So after that, they never share what happened after that. But I remember him telling the story, you know, like, oh, my God, you know, this is horrible. I got sick. I couldn't take it anymore. I had to leave, you know. And you know what I mean? So it was like listening to him. Mm-hmm. And also I sensed fear in him, too, even though he was a clergyman. He was a sense of fear, mm-hmm. like, man, he just – if the devil does exist, he kind of got a little glimpse of it, and it was just awful, you know. So that kind of scared me, too, because I felt like, you know, it was an old rectory, so he kind of felt like the presence was even there, you know.
Wow. Powerful.
But I do want to fast forward. It was a situation where I had to do cleansing, you know, in the home. And
I have one question, and I don't mean to cut you off. When you said you were an altar boy when that happened, where mm-hmm. what was this in New York, or what part of New York did this happen? Because a lot of times people don't, I don't think associate big cities to be, you know, haunted or have these experiences. It's not just small towns; it happens every single place. So this happened in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's happened in Brooklyn. Yeah, so. My childhood, yeah. A lot of people that know me know I was very active in the church. You know, it was like I was always around, you know, helping out and stuff. So it's powerful stuff. This mm-hmm. whole sense of evil. But before we get to that native point, because I know you asked about the native perspective, the Taino.
No, not yet. I hear that, but I want to hear your story. I want to hear your story.
No,
before we get to
the thing
stuff,
that was scary,
I have a few more questions. Go ahead.
Yeah, but. The thing that is scary is that I used to be a Franciscan. There was a friar who he had his PhD in demonology of all things. So it kind of reminded me of when I was younger, you know, hearing these stories, you know, of that priest. And then I said, man, I had tons of questions for him. And the thing that's spooky about this, and I don't know if a lot of Catholics know this, but the existence of the devil, what we call it, Satan or Lucifer, you know, it's based on faith, you know what I mean? And based on this faith is a notion that Lucifer was somehow like a cast angel, whatever. That's part of the story. But most likely it's kind of, it's not a real story, a real fact. It's based on faith. It's based on, you know, storytelling, you know, to trying to understand, like a myth, you know, trying to understand the truth. But the thing that's scary is, and this is official church teachings, that God allows evil to exist. That's the crazy part. Because metaphysically, there's no one or no entity, no energy, no power that's equal to God. You know what I mean? But somehow God allows evil to exist, and this is the problem of evil. How can a loving creator, creatures, God, in the Christian perspective I'm talking about, can allow evil to exist and do harm. And this is official church teaching. That in itself scares me when he broke that down to me, you know, that somehow God allows evil to exist, you know.
That's so powerful stuff right there, because when you go to church, you don't learn that publicly. But I guess someone as yourself that went to school for years. Yeah. That's part of philosophy, right? The questioning things and for that to be questioned, that's just pretty deep. But before we get even deeper on that level, I do want to just us to share some stories for the listeners. I know Creepy was sharing earlier off the radio that she had a personal experience. Do you want to tell us about your personal experience that you've had with evil or anything demonic?
Oh, man. Where can I start? Okay. So, I guess there's a few different things that I can go ahead and touch on, but one thing that's always stood out has been a family story that my grandmother and my aunt both told me. So I come from a line of family that is spiritually inclined, I'll say. So some of us see dead people. Some of us have the ability to do medium work. Some of us help people cross over. But for the most part, we're all just a little creepy. So, you know, hence the creepy stuff part. But my aunt, when she was younger, was really trying to, I guess, find her place in that aspect of paranormal activity, paranormal interactions. And she ended up getting possessed to the point where one day my grandmother heard some rattling in the room. And she walked into my aunt's bedroom, and my aunt is basically levitated off of the bed, but still looking pinned down, unable to physically articulate. My grandmother's sitting here, you know, freaking out, trying to find out exactly what's going on, what's happening. And, you know, there's lacerations on my aunt, and it got to a point where my grandmother decided to, you know, we're going to break out the holy water and do what they do in the movies. It was like a real life version of The Exorcist inside of my aunt's bedroom. And, you know, to this day, my aunt still lives with the same demons, just not at the same capacity. So she's very, very antisocial. She doesn't go outside. She hasn't gone outside in years. She stays in the house. You know, she has cameras all over the outside of her house because she can't physically interact with people because of the anxiety, the triggering of people. It brings out that those things that are, I guess, haunting her. But they, I guess, attach themselves to her for whatever vulnerability it is that she has. You know, she was a very weak child as far as asthmatic, very thin, very brittle. And once all of that started with her, that's when there were physical changes to her where she was more active and just almost a completely different person according to how my grandmother explains it. And it was always something that they put on me to say, oh, make sure you don't do this and make sure you don't do that. And, you know, you have to believe in this because if not, you're going to end up like your Thea. And it's always just in the back of my mind, like, oh, shoot, well, I can't do this because, you know, if I open up when I'm doing something paranormal or when I have experiences, what if they come and, you know, they try and do the same things? And it, I don't know, it was always just a creepy situation, knowing it, you know, because I used to see her often. She used to watch me as a child, and there were some little ticks and triggers that you could see or you can notice from her, thing that was ever too evident after the fact. So I don't know if she's just learned how to deal with them. What's up?
Mm-hmm. Did your grandmother ever try to get professional help for her, like mental health, like
no.
You were saying, or a priest to see if, you know,
she never wanted to bring it to the Catholic Church because, like I said, I grew up Catholic. So the stigma with the church was you're crazy. They're crazy. You know, it's not true. It's not real. And it wasn't something that you talked about. It was almost like they were embarrassed to admit it. So as a devout Catholic, that wasn't something that she wanted to even consider. you know, it was never an option to say, I'm going to get the church involved, because they just thought she was acting out. This was for attention. This was mental illness. Estaba loca is what they claimed. And then she walks in and she sees this and she's just like, oh, crap. She's not crazy. This isn't crazy, because you can't be mentally ill and float 6 inches off your bed. You know, you can't have a laceration just magically pop up being mentally ill. Something is going on. So at that point, she still relied on her religion, you know, praying and holy water and all of that stuff, rosary beads, everything quintessential that you see in the movies. But it wasn't until the spectacle was over that it was over. It wasn't anything that she did that made it go away. So whether it was an internal battle between my aunt and whatever it is what that was holding on to her, or, you know, it was just done playing for the moment, that was it. That was what was in control. Nobody else had control over it. So, like I said, hearing Sanakori talk about how the Catholic Church does do these interventions, it makes me really wonder how many people actually go through actual experiences that require some attention that don't get it because maybe they don't fit the parameters of what they're looking for. I know Sanakori mentioned, you know, the languages and a few other things, but if you have somebody like me, I speak 7 languages. If you don't know me, you have no idea what languages I speak. So if I speak to you in 3 different languages in one set, will that automatically put me in a position where, yes, I fall in line for exorcism assistance because I speak these languages, but nobody knows I speak these languages? Or does that leave me in a position where it's still questionable? So now, you know, it's great to know that they intervene. I had no idea that they really do have this whole section that does interventions. But what's the basis? How do we really rule that out? How do they rule it out to know what's what? And how often is it a mistake where they say, oh, no, you know, this, it's nothing to be taken seriously, and then it is?
Well, that's
so
a,
those
that's
are
a great question.
That I have.
Yeah, that's a great question. Can you answer that? Sanaroki? Oh, my God. Did you
hear me,
Sanakori?
Oh, there we go.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If people are interested, there's a great book called Hostage to the Devil. It was written by a priest. His name was Malachi Martin. And he spoke, he lectured, and he's, you know, he wrote that book that even the Roman Catholic Church was afraid. He was a Jesuit priest. The Catholic Church was afraid to have this guy as an exorcist, you know, because he really, like really shared a lot of the stuff about the devil, about demonic possession, about the problem with evil in the world. Even the church was like, damn, we got to shut this guy up. And when they warned him to stop lecturing on this, he was removed. He was deflect. That means he couldn't function as a priest anymore. So he did over 1,000 demonic possession. I mean, what do you call it? Exorcisms on his own. And this is from private people, people with money, people who are poor, you know. They this is back in the 70s, 80s, 90s. And what happened was there was a famous case. It was a girl from Connecticut, a 4-year-old girl. The family asked for his services, you know. So he went, Malachi Martin. Wasn't a priest anymore, but he still did the possession, you know, still did the ritual. And the little girl and his best friend, who always accompanied him, he was a former CIA agent. What was his name? If you want to look this up, his name was Robert Marrow. He was a CIA agent. He always accompanied him. And what happened was the little girl said, Oh, Father Malachi Martin, how are you? So you're here to help the little girl, huh? You think you can help her? You know, this is a 4-year-old talking to him. Perfect English. as if the little girl's like the puppet, you know. And then Martin was like, sure, you know, let's get started, you know. And then what happened was, this is a true story, after several, you know, sessions, he goes back home, and he fell from a ladder from, he had a library, so he fell from the library, I mean, he fell from a ladder, and he called his friend Robert Merrill, he called him, he says, come here right away, I think I'm dying. So his friend comes, and he's, and his head is busted, you know. He's bleeding out from his brain. But before he dies, Malachi Martin tells his friend, listen, a little girl was here. She was talking to me, you know, and boom, he dies, you know. They did a documentary on his, yeah, they did a documentary on him. It's called Hostage to the Devil. But he was an outspoken.
I'm going to have to look into that. That's interesting.
He was so outspoken that the church had to shut him up. You know, he was a Jesuit. He wasn't a dummy, you know. Jesuits, you know, they're ahead of the game, you know, when it comes to studies and books and stuff. So
that's
let me see something. Geez. Let me see if I get you a quote here. Hold on a second. Was called upon me. Hold on a second. Due to the, I've done a lot of studies on Malachi Martin. When you read the book, his book, it is the scariest thing you ever want to read. It's called Hostage to the Devil. He talks about demonic possession that he's experienced. Yeah, man, it's crazy.
So I want to share a story too, right? Because a lot of people, learning about me or hearing about me for the first time. You know, I used to go by Wi-Fi Lou, but now I'm going by Spooky Lou. And I've always been into the paranormal, right? Yeah, since I was a kid, you know. But the reason why that I've always been into paranormal was because as a child, I really feel that I was tormented by something that was evil. And I truly believe that I dealt with something that's demonic. That's why I don't like touching that subject. It's a hard subject for me because of what I witnessed and what I went through. But I want to share this story with you guys, right? This is one of the most scariest things for me personally that I've experienced with my own eyes, right? Because I hear about people that get possessed or people that do other cultural stuff like Santeria and stuff, and they get possessed. And, you know, me growing up in New York.
Yeah, that's what happened with my aunt.
You know, exactly. So a lot of times me, you know, I don't believe things unless I experience it. So a lot of times I hear this stuff and I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, whatever. But one day where I lived, I remember that I was, I used to live in Queens at one point, and I had these neighbors. I've known them for years. Super cool neighbors. They were Dominican, and they would always come over and, you know, they'd hang out, we'd dinner with us. It was family, right? It's one of those things. You know, I know these people personally for years. And it goes back to what Creepy was saying about the language, which is, I thought was pretty interesting. Oh, my God. Perfect timing. Hold on. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. I apologize. This dog. This dog is possessed. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
We can hear you, Luke.
Yeah. That was weird. So anyways, what happened was, I've known these people for years. It goes back to what Creepy was saying. Creepy was saying that you speak seven different languages, right? So I know these people for years. So I remember one day I was on my computer, and as I'm there, I'm all alone. This house I lived in, it was like three floors. And I remember that there, I got this really bad feeling. It was scary. And it's so weird. Everybody's like bothering me right now. It's like nobody wants me to talk about my story. It's crazy. So I apologize for that because I just got another interruption. Anyways, long story short, I'm there and I got this feeling like something bad was watching me. Like something wanted to kill me. And it was just like weird. I'm like, this is really awkward. This isn't normal. And I was kind of scared, right? So what ended up happening was I went to bed that night. And as I'm laying in bed, I swear I could see these black shadows in the darkness. But I don't know. Could have just been the darkness. It was just so awkward. And I ended up having a dream, right? And I had a dream that there's a friend of mine, and I was walking in the darkness, and all of a sudden I saw her eyes glowing like green. It was just so awkward. And I woke up and I was like, man, this is crazy. So anyways, it was like a Friday, right? Go about my day. Then later on that night, I get back home. I get ready. I'm about to go to a club. And when I walk outside, I see my neighbors. And they're like, hold on one second. I'm sorry.
Louis, I think his phone is possessed or something.
It could be. That's what happens when we talk about the spooky. That happens. You don't want the secrets to come out.
Yeah, I apologize. No. It's so weird. It's like all these interruptions all of a sudden. That's like perfect timing, you know?
Right. Anyway. Way to add to the momentum of the story here.
Yeah, or kill it. I don't know. It's just very awkward.
it's the build-up. It's the build-up. So now you got to make sure you make it good.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's gone again.
Yeah. So what happened was, right, I'm walking out, you know, I'm thinking I'm Papi Chulo. Got my collar popping.
Hey.
Papi Chulo got killed. I got captured.
Did they beam him
up? I think Lou,
what happened?
I think Lou is has been abducted or something. Wait, that's another
Lou
show.
Is making a comeback.
I know, right? Well, it's not. It was a problem with Wi-Fi,
we
Lou. You're losing your Wi-Fi. You're losing your Wi-Fi. Like, oh,
the old Wi-Fi. There you go. Wi-Fi Lou. Let me rest the Wi-Fi Lou. Always losing damn Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. All right, so my apologies. I don't know why it keeps happening. This is very awkward. Long story short, right, I come out, and as soon as I'm walking out, you know, I have my cologne on, I'm ready to go to this place called Martini Lounge, my favorite spot, go get some drinks and chill, right? As I'm walking out, I see my neighbors come down, and they're like, ooh, we need your help, please, we need your help. And I was like, what's going on? Like, what's this? Everybody's frantic. And it's not just the kid, like my friends. It's his mom, and they had like three sisters. The sisters are there. And they're like, Lou, we need help. And you hear like shit going crazy in the house. And I'm like, oh. They're like, Lou, you got to go up there. You got to help us. You got to help us. I was like, what's going on? They're like, there's a demon or something in the house. I'm like, what? Like, I know these people. You know what I mean? They're regular people. We play video games, you know, hang out. Nobody does drugs. Nobody does anything stupid. Regular people. And all of a sudden, they're like, there's a demon in the house. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? Like, are you kidding me? They're like, no. They're like, we know you know about this stuff. You got to help us. You got to go up there. And I was like, listen, man. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going up there. You're talking about demons. I don't know what's going on. I'll see you guys later. I'm going out. I hopped in my car and I left and I partied. I get back home like at 5 in the morning and they're still outside. The whole family. 5 a.m. And I'm like, what's going on? They're like, we're not going up there. Whatever's up there attacked us. And I was like, they're like, you need to go up there. That's when I knew it was serious. And I was like, listen, man. Just because I know about these things, I'm not going to expose myself. I don't know what's up there. I am not going to go up there and then something happens to me. I was like, you need to call a priest or someone to help you because what do you want me to do? Like, I'm not trained in this. So I felt bad, but I had no choice, right? Well, what can I do? So I just went to sleep that night. And then the next day, I went to work. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, there was this awkward for a few days, right? Then I went to work. Come back. And when I get back from work, they're all outside again. This time, this is the scary part, Lou, that you were talking about, that energy in the church and the priest, right? When I got back, everyone's outside, and they're like, Lou, I don't know, but something possessed Joey. Oh, I shouldn't have maybe said his name, but oh well. And and I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, something possessed him. So you hear a guy up there, and he's praying, and then you hear stuff crashing and breaking in the house. And I'm like, this is outrageous. And then his brother starts telling me that he was in bed, and he said he saw these two things. One was fat, one was skinny. He said he could see it from the side profile. He couldn't really see it, but he could tell that they were dancing. He said it attacked them, and he tried to fight and run, and he said that it ripped his underwears off. Now, this sounds outrageous, because I wouldn't believe this, right? And just hearing this, I'm like, this is too much. It doesn't make sense to me. But this is what he said happened to him. Now, when he came down, the brother from with the guy, he wasn't a priest. He was like a guy with a Bible, just went up there thinking that he could just fight whatever it was off by reading the Bible. He came down, and what I remember is that when he looked at me, the guy that was possessed, he looked at me straight in the eyes, and creepy. And all I remember is that I got the most disgusting feeling. I don't know what it was, but his eyes, he deformed, or he had a different look. It did not look like him. He looked like a vampire, or his eyes were sunken in. His eyes looked like they were a different color. And when he looked at me, all I felt was, from what I can describe, was like an abyss of like nothing, if that makes sense. Like, it just felt like pure, like, darkness. I can't even explain what I felt. I got so scared. Like, I don't know what it was. It was disgusting, whatever that thing was, what I felt. It was just powerful. And I remember that he looked at his mother, and all of a sudden his mother freaked out and started screaming, and it's as if whatever was in him jumped into her, and she started going crazy, and they grabbed her. And then when one of the sisters grabbed her, she looked at the daughter all weird, and whatever it was, it looked like it jumped into the daughter. And it was like jumping into each one of them. And I was like, this is just too crazy. Like, I can't believe that I'm witnessing this, and I know these people. These are normal people. You know, they're not on drugs. They don't have any mental, you know, issues that I know of. So I remember, whatever it was seemed to have jumped back into the brother. And this guy's not a big guy. It took about eight guys to hold him down. They're pinning him down, and they're in front of this, like one of those bread trucks. And as he's down there on the floor, he's pretty much still fighting everyone off. And he started just like getting mad, like, and he's looking at everyone crazy. And I was like, I stood back. I was like, this is like too much. Like, I didn't know how to react to this. And all of a sudden, I see this old man walking down the block from the side, right? This old dude walking up like a pimp. He's whistling, has a jacket on, zipped up, like it's a happy day, and he's walking. And as soon as he turns around from the bread truck, there's no way this guy can see it because he's on his back flat, eight guys on top of him. He breaks free, gets up, and he punches the old man in the face. As soon as he punches the old man falls. Everyone tackles him again, threw him on the ground, right? The old man gets up. He's like, hold him, hold him. The old man takes off his jacket, ends up being a priest. Now, I was like, how the hell did Joey, I said his name again, oh well, Joey know that there was a priest coming around down the block? How? And not only that, I know this guy. I know them for years. They're not well-versed in anything but just regular stuff. They don't know 10 different languages. The priest started saying something, and all of a sudden Joey's voice changed. And it was like a movie. It's like it became some demonic growl, and he started spewing the most disgusting things I've ever heard. Something I wouldn't have even thought of about Jesus, and saying really bad things. And then the priest started speaking another language. The guy that I know for like 8 years started speaking to him back in that same language. how's that possible? You know what I mean? That's when I knew that this is real. This is possible, and people can get possessed. Because I know this guy. He doesn't do drugs. He's not educated like that. Regular guy, you know, good dude. For him to speak another language that I've never heard, which I'm assuming was Latin, because the priest started speaking to him back. And as soon as the priest said something, put something on his head, he passed out. He literally passed out. And then they woke him up, and he's like, what happened? Like, what am I doing? Like, well, what's going on? Had no idea what happened. And then the priest said, put him in the car, and we're taking him to the church. And that was it. You know, eventually everything worked out. And I found out what happened, too. I found out. I found out that apparently his mom was, you know, having relations with a married man. And she wanted the man to leave his wife for her. So he didn't want to. So she went and found someone that does, you know, we know as trabajo, I guess. Is that the right word?
Oh, man.
But the lady they went to lived in the same building, hated them. So she said, yeah, sure, I'm going to help you. Whatever she did it to backfire on them. And then that's when all hell broke loose. And then that's when I realized that,
literally,
you know, there's a lot. Yeah, literally. There's a lot of people out there that really are knowledgeable of this stuff, and they're very powerful, and there's powerful beings that do exist. And I've also noticed throughout the years of me studying and learning and going and having these experiences, a lot of times when people do get possessed, it's because they were dabbling in something they should not have been, or a close
mm-hmm.
family member. Something in their background, something they've done, and it could have been 20 years ago that they've forgotten. But it always comes back. That's
mm-hmm.
another thing that I've been able to correlate that happens. So, Lou, what are your thoughts on this, Mr. Sanagori? And now that I shared the story, what did our
uh-huh.
ancestors believe, and did our ancestors have this kind of experiences, or do we have any record of them ever having experiences like this?
I have a theory to just add to that. For the people who
mm-hmm.
share indigenous roots, right, we come from a lineage, or a lot of us that are indigenous, come from a lineage
mm-hmm.
that shares the ability to have access to either other realms or antepasados, you know, the ancestors, the people that were here before
mm-hmm.
us. And
mm-hmm.
what we don't take into consideration when we do certain things without knowledge, without education, is that genetically, sometimes this is embedded from generation to generation to generation in us, and it might not be activated until you actually start to dabble into something. So it's one thing to walk into it curious and educated, or educating yourself through the curiosity, and it's something else to go into it uneducated and ignorant, because you don't know what you're going to activate within yourself through your lineage, or how it's going to affect your lineage. And, you know, the story that I gave you with my aunt, like I said, with my family, it passes down from generation to generation to generation, where, you know, one of us, at least one of us, always has some form of a gift. And she thought it was a joke. You know, she came up around the times where The Exorcist was a popular movie and paranormal stuff was the it thing. So she wanted to dabble in Ouija boards, and she wanted to look into Wicca and Santeria, and she thought it was a joke. And unfortunately, some of us can't take that liability of joking around, because it puts us in a position where we really can be a vessel. And you know, depending on your intentions, it's going to depend on the kind of vessel that you become. So I want to hear what Sanagori has to say in regards to how
mm-hmm.
we can tie this into our indigenous history and, you know, our Taino history, our Taino culture, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever else it is that he wants to add into it as far as personal reference.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my personal
mm-hmm.
point of view, because, like I said, for my
mm-hmm.
family, it's lineage. So Sanagori, what do you think?
Hold on, before I want to make a quick statement. I just want to make a quick statement. I want to let you both know, till this day, I have never watched The Exorcist because I'm scared. I'm sorry, but I just want to let you know that. Go ahead.
I'm a business student. Yeah, okay. We're going to watch The Exorcist. We have to.
Hell no.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. In the creation story, the thing, you know, there's no existence of an evil entity. There's the spirit of spirits. So Gaia, there's the Earth Mother. You know, there's all these different helpers, you know, and sacred beings, I should say, you know. And it's always about fertility. It's about growth. It's about life, death, you know. Now, the Spanish, they try to learn as much as they could to try to divide and conquer kind of thing and control our people. And one thing that they realized that we did have stories of spirits, opias, you know, that will come at night. But these opias lived in another realm of the spirit world, and they will come out at night, you know. But they weren't evil per se, you know what I mean? It was just spirits that could possess you, but not just to kill you, whatever. It was, you know, it would just, like, control you, you know. So there was the fears of these opias, the walking dead, you know, practically, you know. But they weren't referred to as evil, though, per se, you know, or as demons. Actually, that came to us in the invasion stories. You know, they called us the devils, you know, the Spaniards. They said our rituals, the Semis and a lot of our Jehovah, you know, they considered that satanic. So that's when they started teaching us about the devil and Satanism and so on, when they were seeing our rituals, you know. That was the introduction to them. But we didn't have that concept of evil. We had this concept of God or the creator, creatress, you know. And you've seen all these manifestations through the Semis, you know. So there wasn't no evil in that. It was just like creation. It was just life and death, life. It was all one, you know. Even the dead had life. It was just spirits, you know. And they had power. Just like human beings have power, you know? That whole Hebrew concept.
No, go ahead.
Just that whole Hebrew concept of the devil came from the Hebrews, the ancient Hebrews, which manifested into the Christian church, you know? And that was developed by the different scholars through the years, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, you know? Even Bartolomé de las Casas, you know, he really didn't talk much about the devil and stuff like that, but he did disagree with the atrocities, you know, as evil. If anything, the Spaniards were the evil ones, you know. But in my understanding, just my own teachings from elders, you know, traditional indigenous, you know, teachings, there is no evil, but there is destructive and there's constructive energies in the world. You know, so for example, if you build a village by a mountain that could be volcanic, once that volcano erupts, village dies, right? We consider, you know, some people say, oh, that's evil, you know, it's destruction, you know, so we have to be wise, we have to be smart not to build a village by a volcano, you know what I mean? Mudslides constantly happen in Mexico, you know. You build a village by a mountain that's, you know, sensitive to mudslides. So we have to be, you know. But through the centuries, you know, it was attributed to some kind of evil omen, you know. I know the thing. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, Go ahead. Say it.
No, I think punishment, if you want to reach... As far as, you know, punishment was an issue, I think, for our ancestors. When they saw certain natural disasters, it was like, oh, man, we're doing something wrong. But it wasn't like an evil was doing it. It was just like, the balance is not straight. You know, there's imbalance. We have to figure out how to bring the balance back. But, yeah, what you were saying?
So do you think that because... It's kind of like that term when they say, you know, if a tree falls in the middle of a forest and no one's there to hear it, does it really make noise, right? So,
it's gonna make noise, yeah.
So, I mean, but if no one's there to hear it, did it really, did it make noise? So it's like with the Taínos. Yeah. If they had no concept of anything demonic, they had no concept of that evil, do you think that they experienced being possessed? And if they did they have their way of, cleansing the person from, did they think it was just a spirit? Or is it one of the same?
Well, the Taínos, they saw my spirits, opias, these are the land of the dead. Matire Guayaba was the guardian of the dead, the realm of the dead, Guave. But these spirits will come back, I guess what we see as, spirit travel, whatever, coming back. That's how they interpret it, through the opias, But I don't know if I'm answering your question, but just looking back at the sources, That's why the Spaniards, they will attack at night, because the Taínos will not come out at night. They respected the dead, Let them roam all they want. We'll stay in Abujillos. You know what I mean?
Wow, so, that's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Taínos, the Spaniards will attack at night always. During the Battle of the Rebellion of the Caciques in 1511, they attacked at night. The night before the war broke out, the battle was going to break out. So once someone ratted out the people, they had spies that were Taíno. So, and I know a lot of Mexican curanderos, they don't believe in the evil, They do believe in the energies, and it's up to the shaman, it's up to the medicine man, a woman, to balance those energies, we can dedicate a whole show on the psychological aspect, a psychopath, sociopath, schizophrenia, stuff like that. The whole psychological aspect of it. But what humans are capable, genocide, for example, when Spaniards will cut hands, cut limbs, burn babies at the stake, and look what happened to Hathaway. They burn them at the stake. It's very barbaric, right? Is that evil, satanic, whatever, or is it the human condition? I don't know. Part of our human nature. I don't know.
So when going back to defining what a demon is, do you define it as it just being spirits that have been around for thousands of years and that's all they do is torment? Or is there, do you think, something more powerful that's not human that's also been around for a long time?
Well, the ancient, just like our ancient ancestors, the ancient Hebrews, they try to explain this mysterious energy. This mysterious energy that was destructive, that made people go crazy, Made people kill, made people act weird, different, So, they call it Lucifer, they call it Satan, the fallen one, the one who challenged God, These are all myth stories, trying to explain what was going on, When our ancestors from the Amazon, when they were living in the rainforest, right? Rainforest at dark, very dangerous. You have wild animals, And you have people watching out for the villages, The Christian missionaries, they saw that and they said, oh, man, this is demons in the forest, You have to leave the rainforest. You have to leave the forest. You have to leave it. This is demons. You see the difference? You see the mentality? Yeah, go ahead.
I do, and it makes sense, but I think we're running out of time. There's only a minute left, or do we have more time?
Yeah, we're running out of time, like always. It's always the thing, man.
Well, I was saying for people to give us feedback if they want more time in the future, then we can make it longer. Follow me on Spooky Lee Paranormal on mm-hmm. Facebook, and go ahead. I'll leave it to you guys.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
I said I leave it to you guys. The last word.
What for the?
Yeah,
oh,
no,
the Stephanie,
yeah.
Huh?
I said that means yeah.
Well,
close
well,
up the show, Sanakori.
Well,
yeah,
how about this? I wonder. I wanted this whole demonology, demons, and this sense of punishment that our people understood as, you know. I wonder if the origins of all this, it's not really an entity of Satan, but maybe there is a civilization of star people who are destructive, and our ancestors make connections with these. With the, you know, so many times we hear of abductions, right? You hear people being abducted, and they're traumatized by that, you know. So I'm wondering if demons are actually, huh?
I'm gonna have to have a show on that.
So I'm wondering if these demons are actually, well, they're another species that we don't know of, or our ancestors knew of, and they call them demons, but actually, they're a different form of. Different entities, you know what I mean? You know, it's interesting. I remember this.
Hey, Lou,
in metaphysics,
I'm confused. We're not going to get cut off? We have more time?
No, go ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead. We got a few more minutes.
We do? Oh, how much more time do we have? I didn't realize that. I thought it was going to cut
off.
Very
few.
Now.
Yeah,
all right.
Gonna
so
get cut
continue
off.
Then. Continue.
No, but I remember in metaphysics class when I was in a seminary, I brought the issue about does the devil exist, you know? And what happened was basically the priest said, if the devil exists, it cannot be in the same form as God because there's only one God. There's only one divine power, whatever, you know? But if Satan does exist, it has to be either human form or has to be some kind of other form, physical form, you know? It can't exist two. There's one, you know. So I'm wondering now, if it's physical, if it's not humans, then it's another species that's creating chaos in the world, that's possessing people, that's making people go crazy, it's making people, you know, nuts, you know. Maybe these cases of demonic possession are actually cases of a different species that's been causing havoc in humanity for centuries. How about that?
That's an interesting theory. That's a very interesting theory. I actually think I like it. It's something to explore and to think about because you never know. It could be from other dimensions because I've heard that as well, right? And now we're tapping into a whole different realm of whole different topics, you know? Like, for example, like you were bringing up the star people, I've heard that people believe that the grids are really demons, that, you know, they're not aliens. So it's a whole different area that can be explored. You're right. And it's an interesting theory.
There's one thing I know. There's so many mysteries out there. And, you know, with our fancy buildings, our fancy cars, our fancy computers and cell phones, they kind of masquerade that people are seeing something and people are experiencing something that's kind of, lack of better words, evil or destructive. So we got to keep asking those questions. What is it? So we can get rid of it, right? So
well, on
know,
the flip
man.
Side,
if we get rid of it, don't we lose the balance, though?
That's
what
I was going to say. Do we have? Go ahead, Creepy.
Everything has duality. So if we get rid of it, don't we lose that balance? What then becomes the outcome once we lose that balance? Do we just then end up putting ourselves into a perpetual system of getting worse and worse and worse things in place of it or in lieu of it? Because, we can't exist without duality, right?
Well, that's if you understand of an entity that's equal to God. God has no equal if you believe in God. There is no equal. There's only one. There's only one source of life.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the contrast of that is, it just doesn't exist. But it can exist in humans and it can exist maybe in another species. You know? What do you think? This is for a different show.
This is what it's called, set itself up for the next two shows.
and this is what you call the problem of evil. Why does evil exist and what is evil? You get it? So maybe the next show, let's tackle that. What the problem of evil through the native eyes and through other eyes. You know what I mean? So let's do it.
So next Monday, we got this, the problem of evil, okay? So for now, I'd like to reach out to my daughter, Anani Ramos, and let's hit that theme song. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Spooky Lou, for spooking us this hour. Thank you, Stephanie, from the sky coming down to share your stories. And all you people out there, thanks for tuning in. That's right. See you all soon.